I'm Dale Jampgard. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And I've worked for 14 years with Lutheran Family Service as the Director of Life Education there. And then about 4 years ago, I moved into private practice. And I still do some things with the agency. And as a counselor, I work with people in the area of stress management and marriage and family problems, personal issues, and so forth. So it's out of that background that I come. Also, I have four children. Some will be arriving midweek, and the rest, my wife is gone for this week. She was here last week, and they'll be back on Saturday when the other children will arrive. And I know if I just mention I have four children, you'll understand that I know something about stress, having been through some of that. The style I would like to use is to both share some ideas with you and hear some of your ideas, but also to involve you then experientially, so that we won't just be talking about things, but we will be doing a variety of things to experiment with how things happen for us and see what we can learn out of what happens. And one of the things with experiential learning is there's no way to do it right, because it's in doing it that you find out what you can learn about it. So don't be afraid if I suggest that you do something that you do it just right. Just do it and see what happens. And also then if you don't feel like doing something, well, feel free to just say, I don't want to do that. And that's okay too. Well, let me first mention this to you. I've planned three sessions in this series, Stress Management as a Christian. Today we'll be looking at the stance. Just what kind of a stance do we have in life? The second aspect is perspective, and a great deal of stress then is related to how we think about life and how we look at life. And the third is our response to situations in life. So each one of these will be somewhat building on the other and related. Thought I'd read a verse. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And he also says, be not anxious about tomorrow, let tomorrow take care of itself. What does that mean to you? What do you think he's getting at? What does it mean to be at peace?
To trust in God.
Okay.
Not to worry.
Mm-hmm. Not to try to be God.
Not to try to be God, yeah.
He's not saying there's not going to be difficulty or problems, but that somehow in the face of those that you can still have an interior kind of peace that will help you work through whatever it is.
Yeah, no guarantees. It's an easy ride. Mm-hmm. And yet there's a peace in the midst of it. Yeah, is that in where is it here? In Philippians, where he refers to, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's an interesting way of putting it. That there's probably no way of fully understanding what that peace is all about. There's something about experiencing a relationship with God, as you say, a trust, that gives us a peace that maybe we can't explain. Well, let's begin to explore some things about our stance in life. and some of those dimensions. What I'd like to have you do now, as a part of an experiment, is to pick a partner and stand facing that partner and move out into the open spaces so that you've got some room. And once you are in that position, after you've exchanged names at least, if you don't know the person you're with, well, just then stand quietly and I'll give you the instructions from there on. Okay? Find a partner.
Can I be your partner?
Okay, now if you you want to come over, and so I showed you the model, and I need you to be a little freer than he is, right? Okay, now, I'd like to have you decide who's going to be A and who's going to be B. Okay, now, you who are A, get so you have a little bit of space around you. Lane, you want to come on back over here and use up this space and get kind of spread out there? Okay, now, A, what I want you to do is stand with your feet like this, just a part of ways, and stand and face B, and don't let B push you over. Stand up to B. Now you got to be tough about this. Just stand up to B. And now A's, or B's, what I want you to do is to see what it takes to push A over, and you start pushing on the shoulders like this. You begin to see what it takes. Okay? Start pushing on the shoulders and see what it takes to push A over. Okay? Begin. Come on, I'm going to push you over. Now let's switch, and again, let me remind you, like you not to brace yourself like this, but stand with your feet just apart, like this. Okay, now turnabout's fair play. B, stand, and I'd like to have you stand up to A. And come on up, stand up, and don't let him push you over. Be tough. Okay, lean against you, just let him fall flat on the floor. Okay, now we'll go back to A's. Now what I'd like to have you do, A's, is feel your feet under you. Take a good full breath of air. Move your awareness down into your legs. And imagine that there's energy flowing down through you into the floor. And just kind of let go and stand and feel that floor under you. Feel the connection. And just have that sense that you can stand there. That you can relax and yet you can stand. Okay, now B's, begin again and see now what it takes to push him over.
Right on off. A lot less.
Okay, now switch. And B's, let yourself move into that. Begin to feel your legs under you, feel connected with the floor. Imagine there's some energy flowing down through you into the floor. And just kind of relax and know that you can stand. You can relax and be strong at the same time. Okay, and now A's, begin to push and see what it takes to push them over. Okay, now share with your partner, what was the difference between those two experiences? How did you experience it differently? Okay, come on back and have a seat, please. Okay, what did you notice? What were some of the differences between those two experiences?
First time she was really tighter and just kind of more brittle. The second time she was more flexible, kind of like a tree in the wind, bending back.
Uh-huh.
With the roots in the ground.
Okay.
From my point of view, the first time I didn't feel like I dared bend back or I'd fall over. And the second time I thought in terms of roots or like, you know, a lot of buildings are sunk deep into the ground. And so I just felt like even though if I leaned way back, I wasn't going to fall over because it was like having roots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the fact that we were more relaxed, we were a little more flexible in our movement.
Okay. Now, with which one did you feel stronger? Okay. You know, so often we don't associate being relaxed with being strong. Instead, we often feel like we have to make ourselves strong. And so we feel like we have to do something, tighten, tense. And there's some ways that we do that. Let me suggest some very familiar phrases. Often as we're growing up, we're a little anxious about whether we're going to be enough in life. And our parents are also anxious about whether we're going to be enough. And so they have ways of telling us, if you will only do this, then you'll probably be enough. Now, one that was very familiar for me was, if you will only hurry up. Now, what does that say to me? It says, maybe, you know, I'm a little too lazy. Maybe I'm not putting out enough effort. Maybe I'm not moving fast enough. I've got to make myself move faster. I've got to hurry up. Well, I know how that feels in my body now. When I have a job to do or something, I often feel those tensions kick in. Hurry up. And I tighten up my body. The way I became aware of this was, it was a number of years ago when I first became aware, but I was out driving on a Sunday afternoon and I had decided to go for a ride and I didn't have any place that I really wanted to go. And I stopped at a stoplight and when the light changed, I shoved it in gear and I was weaving in and out of traffic and I was really making very good time. And then it hit me, I had no place to go. No. And I realized at that moment that that hurry up was in my head. It was not in any way in that situation. Now that was kind of lucky to become aware of that. Because you see, when I believe that you have to hurry up in life in order to make it, I will see every reason in every situation why that can be true. And so what happens is that I always start late enough for a meeting in order so that I have to hurry up or I won't make it. And I say, see, if you don't hurry up, you don't make it in life. So you've got to hurry up. Now, and then I said, where did I get that? And I thought back, and one scene that came to my mind was my father mowing the lawn running. Whatever he did, he was always hurrying. And so anyway, that was a theme, one of the themes in our household. Hurry up or you don't make it. Now that's what we call a driver. It drives me in how I approach doing things. There's a couple of others that are favorites, and then maybe you know some others. Susie, go in and clean your room. And Susie says, I did it, Mommy. And Mommy comes back and says, Susie, you didn't get into the bed. You aren't trying hard enough. And so Susie goes back in the next day and cleans under the bed. And Mother comes in and says, Susie, your dresser isn't cleaned up. You're not trying hard enough, Susie. And then the third day, Susie goes in and cleans her room pretty good. And you hear her in there going, and she comes out and she, whew. And Mother says, now, Susie, you're really trying hard. And this is the person in life that no matter what they're doing, it feels hard. Do you know, have you talked to people like that? Whatever job they've done, they come up, oh boy, I'm exhausted. Oh man, what a day. Everything is so hard. And that they're living up to that expectation that they need to try hard in life in order to be somebody. Now they often spend more effort trying hard than doing it. But it's that kind of feeling. Well, a favorite that you probably will recognize is the be perfect. Johnny, those four A's are great, but with a little effort, that last B could have become an A. And always there's something wrong with that, whatever was done, and it could always be more perfect. So this person then feels like they have to drive themselves to make it perfect. They can't rest until it's perfect. Because why? Their whole sense of worth is at stake. And so, a lot of energy. Ulcers, worry, other kinds of things that we do to ourselves. Another one is be strong, and this word is often more related to boys. Don't cry, don't show emotion, don't show that you're upset with anything. And a lot of times it's something like be attractive for girls. Whatever you do, act as though nothing ruffles your feathers, you know, always be cool. You know, be attractive, that kind of thing. I've been counseling with a lady who comes in and sits like that. And now she's beginning to discover that she doesn't have to be so in control, so perfect. And just think of the amount of tension that's involved with that all the time. Just, you know, she looks like she's just a statue. That's why all of these are drivers. We drive ourselves, try to make ourselves do things. There's one more, a couple more favorites. Please me. Mother says, if you will just please me, then you'll be somebody. And this one then is the person who is always tuned into everyone else in terms of, am I pleasing you? You say, shall we go to a movie tonight? And the person says, well, I don't know. Do you want to? Yeah, I'd like to go to a movie. Okay, let's go to a movie. Well, what movie should we go to? Well, I don't know. What movie do you want to go to? Well, let's go to this movie. Would you like that? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. What time should we go? Well, I don't know. What do you want? You know, always needing to find out what the other person wants because they have to make sure that they're pleasing everybody. And then if someone isn't pleased, if someone is upset or doesn't like something, the pleaser feels all that tension. Oh, what did I do? I should have done something. I should do something to make them happy. You know, now, all that tension that goes on with that. And then another favorite is be responsible. This was a favorite in our home too. Our family went to church a lot, and we on the way home we'd always talk about whatever happened and how we were responsible to help it get better next time. And I had two younger brothers, so it was be responsible for them. And anyway, I became very, you know, concerned about being responsible. And I can feel where those tensions are. You know, bear the weight. Make sure everything's happening okay. Is this on time? Is this going to be okay? Always feeling responsible for everything going on. And these things become a real trap. And because we part of it is we feel like our whole worth depends on it. You know, so I go on and become a social worker and a pastor, and you know, how responsible can I get? And yet I discovered that as virtuous as this was, it was really the essence of my sin. I was trapped in it. And it was a source of a great deal of anxiety, because how do you be responsible for everything going on around, and how do you make sure other people solve their problems and this kind of thing? Well, the trap is that it was tight for me, and I was destroying myself with tension. And in my relationships, I had to find out what people's problems were so I could be responsible for them. So I had to use people so I could feel more responsible. And then I had to use the things around me. And that's the way I would drive myself. That's what makes it the sin, is it distorts everything that we do in life. And usually there is some way that we try to prove that we're somebody, some kind of a driver that we have.
I have another one. The one I grew up with, and I didn't realize until I got married and my husband wasn't that way, was you do all your work and then you play.
Oh, okay.
Every Saturday morning I had to help clean the house before I could go out and play.
All work before play. And is the work ever done?
Never done. My husband can relax on the couch and, oh, I just can't do that because I have so much to do.
Yeah.
And I get mad at him.
Okay, now, these are agendas going on in our head. They're a way of looking at things and a way of dealing with things. What I discovered was an allower, as different from a driver. And that is that I could be responsive to people rather than responsible for people. And that my worth is not finally at stake. That my worth is a gift from God. And when I begin to get that kind of peace, that kind of quiet, then I let go of this agenda and I discover that I can be with people and be responsive to them in an easy, relaxed way. And believe, counseling's a lot easier now. I don't have the same kind of stress and tension that I used to have when I tried to be responsible to make everything come out right. I can be more effective now because I'm responsive to people. I'm not trying to prove something. So, what I'm referring to here then is the kind of agendas that go on in our head and the way we try to make ourselves strong. And one of the concerns I have around the idea of relaxation or the idea of peace is that we don't have much of a sense that it's a way to be strong. That being strong seems to mean to us to make ourselves be strong. Now, what happens when a weightlifter wants to lift a weight? What does he do? You know what he does?
Psychs himself up.
He psychs himself up, he relaxes, he takes a good full breath of air, and when he lifts, what does he do? Exhales. Have you ever tried that? Well, I tell you, it really blew my mind. I've never been very good. Been a long, you know, skinny kid ever since I can remember. And push-ups were my nemesis, really. But part of it was the way I would do push-ups, and that is, you know, take a deep breath and hold my breath and try to make myself strong. And it, you know, just would drive me nuts. What I've discovered is that if I take a good full breath of air and exhale, I let go of all this trying to make myself strong, and I trust the strength that's in me, and I'm far stronger. Now, play with this. One of the ways I've played with it is on stairways. Take a good deep breath at the bottom of a step or out here on the hill as you're going up. Take a good full breath, and then exhale as you go up the steps or up the hill, and just let yourself float up. And I think you're in for a surprise. You'll find how easy it can be. Or out on the trail. Exhale, let go. Or another way, if you're out walking on one of these trails where you've got a log crossed a creek or something, and what happens then? Well, if you start looking at that log and start looking down at that water, and you see all those rocks there, and you think about those rocks and think, what would happen if I slipped? And what happens is you feel wobbly and you're not sure what's going to happen, and you feel like you're going in for sure. Well, at that point, if you take a breath of air and move your awareness down to your feet and do what we did here, just move your awareness down, let go, again, you'll be amazed. You'll walk across that log like a piece of cake. A dramatic change. So what I'm saying is, there's a lot of agenda going on in our head, and it's that agenda that is the major source of the tension in our bodies. Let's explore that in another way. What I'd like to have you do is sit fairly straight in your chair. And the idea here is that when your spine is straight, your skeleton will carry your body. If you're sitting like this, then you need all kinds of muscles to hold your body up. But when your spine is straight, a lot of your muscles let go because the skeleton will take care of it. And your head can kind of ride up on top and you can let go. Now, what I'd like to have you do is close your eyes. And by the way, I said, let yourself sit up straight. I didn't say, like Mother says, sit up straight. So if you're trying to hold yourself straight, let go again. Find a place where you can kind of be comfortable and just let it happen. It's not a matter of making yourself be straight, but you can let go and relax. Bring your awareness to your breathing again. Now move your awareness down to your feet. Be aware of the way your feet touch the floor. Be aware of the balls of your feet, your toes. Awareness is a being with. It's different than introspection. In other words, nothing needs to happen. Don't try to see anything or notice anything. Just be with what is happening. It's a passive orientation. Now be with your ankles. Notice what happened there. Move your awareness to your calves. Your knees, your thighs, your buttocks. Be aware of the extent to which you're trusting the chair. Now move your awareness to your back, your lower spine. Be aware of each vertebra as you go up. Between your shoulder blades. In the base of your neck. Now move your awareness to your right shoulder. And on out your right arm, your bicep, your elbow. Your forearm. Be inside and feel your wrist, your palm, your fingers. Now move your awareness to your left shoulder, your bicep, your elbow, forearm, your wrist, your palm, and your fingers. Bring your awareness to your abdomen, your stomach. Let yourself be aware of your heartbeat. And move your awareness to your lungs, your throat, your mouth, your nostrils, and behind your eyes. Bring your awareness to your jaw, your lips, your cheeks, to your ears, your temples, and the top of your head. Now move your awareness over your whole body, letting it be there. Have that sense that it is okay to be you without doing anything. Receive yourself as a gift from God, just as you are. Then let yourself have a good full breath of air. And as you exhale, let yourself open your eyes and be present and refreshed. And notice that you can notice things around the room and yet retain that sense of relaxation. Not something you need to lose just because you're in contact with the room. notice at this point that you can be very relaxed and yet alert. Relaxation does not need to mean flaked out, which is often the association we have. And it's that association that creates a lot of problems for us, because we think that to be relaxed, to be flaked out, so when we want to relax in a threatening situation, there's no way that we can be flaked out in the threatening situation. So we have no alternative than to be tense. Whereas you could be relaxed and alert, just as you are now, in a very threatening situation. And you have all your capacities ready to move and ready to deal with it. And I call this in a relaxed, alert stance. Being quiet and at peace and yet ready to move. Okay. Now, what did you notice as we did this? What kinds of things happened? Why don't you take a moment and turn to someone right near you and compare notes? Let's do that for just a couple minutes. See if the person next to you experienced what you did. Okay, let's come back together, please. Again, what are some of the things you noticed that time?
I felt my body settling down to the chair. I was real hyper when I came, and I just kind of glued in.
It's kind of fun sometimes to watch faces sometimes when I'm doing this and see a smile on people's face when they say, oh yeah, and just let go.
Even though we weren't moving it, the body almost felt like it was, you could feel your body moving in relaxation or something like that, a tingling.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes letting circulation flow more, the tension blocks circulation as we let go. Blood begins to flow, you feel a tingling.
You know, physiologically there were fewer respirations, and just the awareness of things in your body that were kind of negative or blocked or became more keen. If there was something tight, it became more apparent.
Okay, that there were areas that were tight that you probably weren't aware of or in touch with, and then you became aware that there was tightness there. And what would happen when you brought your awareness into a part of your body? What was happening as you went along in your body? Yes, often what happens is that you move your awareness into a part of the body, it's just like it begins to let go, like the tension goes. And if you just be with it, it lets go.
I feel it's almost like it's being highlighted.
Hmm.
There's a spotlight. Maybe there's
okay.
A lot of times I find when I'm tense, I'm holding my breath. And so if I just remember to keep breathing, that helps too.
Okay, well, as we moved with awareness, we weren't telling our body to do anything. So we weren't telling it to relax, and yet, did most of you experience relaxation? Mm-hmm. Anyone not experience relaxation as you did? Okay. Now, as we reflect on this, one of the things I've come to is that most of the tension in your body is not related to what's happening right now. Most of it's related to thinking coming out of the past. And such thinking as this kind of stuff. How we have to be, how we ought to be, how we need to hold ourselves. And so you've heard a lot about becoming aware of the now, getting tuned into the now. One of the reasons for that is to just get our awareness into the now so that we can let go of a lot of this agenda going on in our head and in our body. Because, you know, the chair didn't get stronger, but you decided to trust the chair and said, oh, you know, that chair will hold me, rather than, you know, half an inch off the chair. Now, as we move into difficult situations then, this is heightened. Our anxiety, our tension out of the past, our way of looking at the situation often hypes us up. And what that does, that tension binds our ability to deal with the situation rather than frees it. And so often we move into a situation feeling like this, and it's hard to do what we would like to do. We can't think, we forget, our body doesn't work the way we want it to work, and we're a pushover sometimes, like we were at the beginning, when we get really bound up in that way. So one of the things I'd like to suggest to you is a way of shifting into what you just were experiencing, and I call it a relaxed alert shift. And one of the best ways of doing that is by bringing your focus to your breathing. That takes us out of our head. We begin to turn off the ongoing programming in our head, get in touch with our body, and then we can be much more present with what's happening. A way of doing this, and it can be done in a very short time, is I suggest taking like 6 breaths. And the first 2 breaths, you take 2 good full breaths and hold each breath for about as long as you can. Just take 2 good full ones. Then the second 2, you take just medium-sized breaths and hold them for about half as long as you do the first ones. And the last 2, you take just a good full breath, and as soon as you're full, you begin to exhale again. And in and out. Now, let's play with that a little bit. And what I'd like to have you do now is close your eyes and think of a stressful situation, or if you can't remember one, then create one. And just begin to see it happening in your mind and accentuate in your body how you might be reacting at that time. Begin to let yourself feel what you do to yourself when things really get stressful or tense. Okay, see yourself there in that situation. Okay, now sensing you're in that situation, take a good full breath of air and hold it. Hold it, hold it, hold it, and now let go. Continue to see the situation. Again, another breath. In when you're ready. Hold it, hold it, hold it, then let go. then as you're ready, take another breath. And hold. And exhale. And as you're ready, another breath. Hold. And exhale. Now, when you're ready, a good full breath. Begin your exhale as soon as you get full. Feel yourself just loose, able to be present. In again. Let yourself have that sense of being relaxed and present, faced with that situation. Now notice some ways that you could deal with that situation. Notice how you're ready to move in different ways. What would be a word or two that would describe what you experience when you let go of the agendas? Pick a word or two that fits what you experience. When you let go of the anxiety and the busyness of your mind. Okay, now just say those words, word or words to yourself. See if it resonates in you with a sense, an inner sense. Just repeat the word a number of times. See how it feels. Okay, and now open your eyes. With that kind of a word, whatever word you picked that fit for you, and with the breathing, you can shift your focus, and you can do it in a fairly tense situation. So I'd like to have you experiment with it in the next day or so. If you find a situation where you're going to do something that you're a little anxious about or talk to someone, just do some breathing. If you've got time to do the six breathings, use that word on the exhale. And it will help your whole system remember what this felt like for you. And you can actually shift into this kind of relaxed, alert stance and move into a situation much more free to deal with it for whatever it is. What happened again as you did this? Anything that you noticed?
Couldn't keep my jaw clamped together today.
Oh, okay. One of your reactions was, anything else?
It's relaxing.
Okay. Begin to let go of that busyness in the head.
Mm-hmm. Once I've stimuli seems to disappear.
Okay.
Forgetting
both of
of the outside stimuli, but also of what was being causing me so stressed.
Oh, okay.
Began what was to that thing? Yeah.
Yeah. It begins to seem less important. Again, it's like crossing that log. If we focus only on the threat, we can really keep ourselves anxious and scared. When we get really in touch with ourselves, then those other things are still, you know, maybe a little threat, but we've got an idea we can deal with them. And it's a way of diminishing the threat. And then being able, we have much more capacity to deal with a situation because we're coming at it more open. Okay. What I'd like to do now is one last thing. Now I want to make one comment about one dimension. There won't be time to do anything with it, and then end with another experience. We have in our Christian orientation a major way of letting go of this agenda. It is called confession and forgiveness. Forgiveness is to give up what has gone before, to let go of these old fears and this old agenda, this old anxiety. And it's confession then is to be a daily time of resolving the ways we've been anxious, the ways we failed, the ways we felt guilty, the ways we've been scared during the day. And one of the things you'll find is if you do this before you go to sleep at night, if you go, just let your mind take 10, 15 minutes, go back over the day and say, that was one point where I was really scared and anxious. Process it and let go of it. Lord, forgive me, help me to let go. Help me to feel okay about being who I am and recognize that I did these things, but that I can still accept myself as you accept and love me. This kind of process, if we do this, one of the things you'll notice is that you will need less sleep and you will awaken more refreshed, because a lot of the dreaming is an attempt to try to make sense out of things that don't fit for us. Well, I wasn't what I should have been. People didn't care about me the way they should have cared. And what we do is we try to finish those things in our head and make sense out of them. And our dreaming is a lot of effort around that kind of thing. It's a little like this process, and see, you finished what I started in your head, because you were going to make sense out of this according to what you think should happen. That's what happens with various events during the day when they're unfinished in some way, and we end the night trying to put all that together. Confession and forgiveness is a natural way of letting go of that for the day. And now, again, what I'd like to have you do is close your eyes and sit again straight. Sit in a sense of receiving. Phrase, walk in the light as he is in the light. Receive the light. Have that sense of receiving the light and the love of God into you. One of the problems with the anxious agenda of our minds and the anxious tension of our bodies is that we then have no way of knowing God's presence. We are too busy. And so it is that phrase can help us. And let's share the phrase, let's repeat it 7 times. Be still and know God. 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 Be still and know her. As we let go of all the agendas, we can know that presence with us that he promises. We can be tuned in as you're in that state of openness and reception. Let me share these words from Isaiah 40. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Peace.